Hi, this is Will.
And this is Jay.
Welcome to our podcast,
Not Just Sports.
Just two bros sitting down talking about everything, not just sports.
On this series, we'll be taking you with us on the trails and spills, highs and lows, disappointments and excitements at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. And of course, there can only be one winner. So as you say in Nigeria,
breakfast will reach everybody. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of our World Cup series on Not Just Sports with Will and Jay. Nice to have you here again today, Jay.
Man, yesterday was something. Like, yesterday was really something. Nice to be here again.
Yeah, how did you enjoy the games of yesterday?
The games? It started out well, like better than I expected. At some point, the Netherlands game actually stalled for a bit.
Okay.
Because the chances are we missed and all. But USA Wales, that was a very, very good way to end it.
All right. So first of all, we're going to go over our predictions from yesterday.
Are we doing, let's just leave that for the end part, right?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So what do we have for our listeners today?
Okay. So first of all, let's dive into the games of yesterday. We want to look at the takeaways from the matches. Different features of yesterday, England, Iran, Senegal, Netherlands, USA, Wales, who were the best performers, who actually stood out for us, and those that are disappointed, because we know we had big hopes for some players and they didn't live up to it. Hmm. So let's start from the first game, the England, Iran.
Yeah.
Like, what was your take from that game?
Well, we all expected England to win, so
Definitely.
There was no
surprise.
There's no surprises or like upset. The only surprise I would have is Iran managing to score two goals.
Right. Yeah.
Two goals. Apart from that, it was always going to be an easy win for England.
I don't pronounce his name wrong.
Mehdi Taremi.
Yeah. Right. I don't even know the guy.
He plays for Porto. I think so, yeah.
Oh. I don't really know him. The first goal was good. I can easily blame that on Pickford, because to me that was something that he was also like stopped.
Yeah.
But the first goal was good. So not taking anything away from Taremi, but the second goal was a penalty, and still there's nothing Pickford would have done there. The penalty is always 50-50. That's where he actually plays a penalty well. I know the nerves and every single thing. It's not easy taking a penalty during World Cup.
Not at all.
And he slotted it away easily. So, although the Iranian team messed up, one shining light. I know we're looking at Alireza.
Yeah,
for the game.
We're looking at Alireza.
Yeah, number seven, that plays for Feyenoord now. We're looking at him, and he had a chance, like he had a clear-cut chance. I agree that, okay, he took it on a volley, but he had
he
the
still
time.
Missed it.
Yeah, he had
he
the
had
time,
the time to sit
it.
And think about it.
And he just decided to whack it, and that was not advisable. And that was what puts Iran in the backside, because if he had scored that goal, things would have at least changed for the better before the remaining two goals came in to make it six. But still, since he did that, the English fans can smile a bit more, because they had a lot of performance that day.
Yeah, they had a lot of performance. I mean, besides the ones we mentioned.
Yeah.
For example, Bukayo Saka, they had a very good performance all around.
I have a lot to say about Bukayo Saka, God's child.
No be small, God's child. I beg.
Okay, so the top performance for the game. Let's take a look at Harry Kane. I said this previously, that Harry Kane was the typical number 9 back then in 2016-2017 for Tottenham.
Yeah.
But after he played with Gareth Southgate in the English national team for the World Cup, his model changed.
Yeah, his gameplay has changed.
And he was no longer that striker that was looking to score. In Tottenham, he only does that with only Heung-min Son. where he's no longer looking to score. And he has that long range of passing in him that he can knock long passes as long as he believes that you
can are
control it. Understand? So bringing him into the English national team in 2018, his gameplay modified and modified for the better. And we saw that yesterday again, where he didn't score, but he was like one of the standout performers to me.
Very true.
Because he created most of the goals. I don't know which one. Let's use the Sterling's goal. Ball came in, body defender controlled it. As he controlled the ball, Saka took it and side move. He tripped Saka, but Bellingham was there. He continued the ball. Then Bellingham had the chance to pass to either Sterling or
Kane.
To me, I felt he had been giving Sterling. I felt that was like the obvious choice.
I feel like there were two defenders closing in on Sterling, so it would have been a much harder pass.
Yeah.
I think the easier option was to go with Kane.
And then wow. That's that movement from Kane. That was epic.
Yeah. And well, you can also add the finish from Sterling because
I heard some people complaining about that. Like they were shouting and saying,
what was he going to do? Was he going to use his head?
The way he played it.
There's really no way to be certain how
a volley. That's one of like the best goals I was scored yesterday. And when I hear people complain about that he didn't position his foot right.
Didn't the ball enter the post?
It did.
So like there's really nothing to argue about that. It was a goal.
Kane really
assist from Harry Kane.
Yeah, Kane really did something yesterday. He had 2 assists yesterday. It was crazy. Then let's shift away from Kane. Raheem Sterling. I know before when we talked about this yesterday, I didn't want him to perform.
Yeah.
And this is the issue about Sterling. He doesn't perform so well at club level. They still call him up. He comes same as the Euro. He performs during the competition.
Yeah, but I think we failed to mention this part yesterday because while he has been not really performing at club level, I think at national level, he always has this sort of shine to him.
Yeah. And now that's going to affect people like Phil Foden because we already know that the first name on the next team sheet for their next game is going to be Raheem Sterling. That front line is not changing.
But then again, it's the World Cup, you know, so like, and in this group stage, someone like Southgate might want to tweak a little, but I think if he wanted to tweak a little, it would have been for this Iran game.
Yeah, this was like the easiest game.
Yeah, it would have been for this Iran game, and he played the strongest. So, although I can for Phil Foden, although I can hope that Southgate tries some new tactics, I'm not really sure because the next games are not going to be as easy as Iran. So.
No way. Next name, Jude Bellingham. I don't say anything about that point. You say it.
Well, I mean, everybody expected him to perform.
What? Score the first goal, man.
Regardless of the goal, like, everybody expected him to perform, and he really did perform.
That kid is 19.
He was able to body the defense. Let's just assume that it's Iran.
Mm-hmm.
In the World Cup, let's just assume that it's Iran that they played because we've seen him play for Dortmund and he's actually really good.
He drops the exact same performance for Dortmund, like no single change.
That's what I'm saying. So let's just assume that it's because Iran. It's Iran. So maybe from like the next matches, we'll see his true capabilities.
Yeah, like the only person I've spoken to that's not hyped up about this kid, like everybody is screaming.
Why do you feel I'm not hyped up about him? Because
everybody
we are linked with him too in January. So I calm down.
Like how do you get a 19-year-old that plays in the midfield of Mason Mount that we know that is very good?
Yeah.
Declan Rice, and we know he's also very good, and he's a standout performer. Like
it would depend on the role that they give him.
He played everywhere. That's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. It would depend on the role.
How did he even pop up for that goal?
It would depend on the role that they gave him. That's just the truth. So like we don't really know in depth what he was playing.
When Maguire went on injury, when he took Maguire off from England's field with 10 men,
yeah,
he felt centre back. Like, that's how crazy this is.
That's what I'm saying. The way he played this year, I feel like they gave him a sort of free role.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, like you said, he was always everywhere.
Declan Rice was positioned there at the
He was always everywhere. When you would look to where Saka is and you see him, to where Sterling is and you see him, you look to where... So he was basically just everywhere.
The energy levels for that kid is through the roof, man. Like, let's not even talk too much about him, because I'm 100% sure that the next time England is going to play, we're still going to talk about Jude Bellingham again. Harry Maguire. We all expected it.
I expected it.
He nearly scored.
Yeah, he nearly scored.
And it was almost the same when we talked about it. Kieran Trippier corner kick straight to Maguire's head, and then it hits the bar. But let's take away from that. Yeah, his assist also.
Yeah, that's the... You see, we said this in the last episode, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Harry Maguire will shout his name and all of that, and will complain and complain. But when he comes to England national team, he drops performances. He
drops it.
And... I don't know why Gareth Southgate felt and believed that this guy would perform, but apparently
he was so composed.
He was right.
He was so composed.
Like,
I had an argument with the Man U fan yesterday and I was laughing. I was like, we are seeing this guy always performing for England, right?
Yeah.
And I told him, Maguire is not the problem. The problem is Man U. And he took it as an offense. Like, Man U fans, I'm not trying to throw shit at you guys, but it's simple.
The problem has always been Man U. I stick with my goal. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. Man U is the problem.
Like,
okay?
If this guy is not performing in both places,
yeah,
then we know that he is the problem, right?
Yeah.
When I say the problem is Man U, I don't say Man U is not good. I'm trying to say that the tactics are being deployed at Man U doesn't suit him. So yeah, that's the reason why we are seeing him creaky and shaky as Man U, right?
Yeah.
When he comes to this thing, to England, and then he drops this kind of performance, see, take it, let's just say the truth. If this game was a game that ended 0-0, right?
Yeah.
He's one of the man of the matches. You understand?
Yeah.
That's how good he was yesterday. He was so good that he got an injury and people were shouting, no, they won't. But like, he was so composed. That was crazy. And I'm glad that, despite everything that yesterday, we actually supported him and we expected him to score.
Yeah.
And he came close to scoring. He would have had a goal and an assist yesterday. And that would have been
crazy.
For someone that had been benched as Man U. I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of Man U defenders playing, right?
Yeah.
Dalot for Portugal. We know he's good there.
Yeah.
Varane.
Definitely.
Martinez indeed.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see whether any of these guys are actually going to outperform Harry Maguire. That's really a high mark set by Maguire. Kudos to him.
Yep.
Then, my man of the match. My boy.
Just say my man of the match. You're not an England. See, remember.
My boy.
Remember, you are a Brazilian. You're
the hats that beats. The hats that beats
you
in
remember,
the
you are a Brazilian.
Yes.
For the World Cup. So yes. Stop saying my man of the match. You're not an England fan, bro.
But suck out the way, man. Like, this is something that I never hid. Check it on Twitter. Check it anywhere. Saka. I saw him score one yesterday. When I saw how the game was going, I was like, immediately Bellingham scored. I needed Saka to score again because I needed him to steal the headlines. If he didn't score that second goal, definitely man of the match would have been Bellingham, and they would have given every ball we're talking about to Bellingham. That's crazy for a 19-year-old to come in and do that. But Saka, let me drop a stat by you. The five goal scorers yesterday for England, those were their first World Cup goals.
Yes.
That's crazy. Sterling, Rashford, Grealish, Saka, Bellingham, all of them. Very, very crazy start. What do you have to say about Saka?
Well, that first goal was something.
Heavily.
That first goal was something. From Maguire to him, man. That first goal was really something, bro.
But the second. That was like, I felt like I saw a general bit.
The second one was the typical Arsenal Bukayo Saka goal. Take the ball through the wing, come in. The defenders are afraid.
Fake shots.
The defenders are afraid to push forward and tackle him one-on-one because he always attacks them one-on-one. So I feel like that was typical Arsenal Bukayo Saka goal.
But to do that on the World Cup stage, the composure, and then... The keeper was just a spectator there. He just watched the ball go in. I felt bad for him.
Because the defenders were in front of him. Yeah.
Do you feel that the reason why they actually dealt with Iran Ayala was because of the injury to their goalkeeper? You feel like if he was there, things would have been different. Let's say maybe 4-2 or 3-2.
Regardless of whoever was in the post, England would have still won.
Yeah.
And I feel like they would have still won by a high margin. So
When we were discussing about the game yesterday, I think the main fan he was complaining about Iran not attacking in the first half, saying that was the reason why England was dealing with them, because they keep scoring defense. I told him that's not true. I thought this was at 4-1.
Yeah.
I said, no, that's not true. That's forgetting how Iran are playing. I understand that, yes, in some games you have to come and defend. You cannot go and play against Brazil and say, we are going to attack you. Everybody's not that courageous. You can't come and play against Argentina. Italy tried it. Finalissima.
But see something, yeah? What I feel is that, like, if you're coming into a game and you're coming in to attack,
yeah,
it actually, unless the opponent is quickly adaptable, it will like tweak their game for that first 20 minutes. You can be able to take advantage of, yes, them trying to adjust, because maybe they came and they expected you to play defense. You get,
yes,
so like for Iran, I feel they did not, if they had put in enough efforts in the first half, maybe, oh,
maybe
who knows.
Okay, but to me, they tried. The second half was impressive. Since the end of the second half, we are treated
way better than Qatar.
Way better than Qatar. And then the last, let me just take three of them at once, so we can actually move on to the next match.
Okay.
Rashford, Grealish and Callum Wilson, three substitutes. Rashford scored, Grealish scored, Callum Wilson with that unselfish composer assist. Whoa.
Yeah.
How are you a number nine and your chance to score your first World Cup goal, you do that? That was very, very unselfish.
Players, so you see, the thing is, He probably would have scored the goal. You guess
he would have scored it. That's that's Callum. He would definitely have scored that.
But I think he went for the 100% option.
And Grealish was shocked to get that pass.
Yeah, and
I saw his reaction. He was like, "Damn, pass this to me."
And he was shocked after scoring the goal.
Yeah,
like, World Cup goal.
Is it that easy?
So I know. He was shocked. He was really shocked.
Celebration.
Yeah, Finlay, for you at the World Cup, Finlay.
Man, England, you guys really impressed me. It's the Rashford, nice goal. That was epic composure there. I don't expect that from Rashford. I think this year and then he crucified me, but that's the truth. I've criticized him a lot because as in his final decision in the 18th
box. Yeah, his decision making. Yeah.
He usually makes the wrong choice, but that was cold. The cotton. Yeah, and going, oh God, Rashford, kudos.
Usually we say high school Harry Kane, but high school Marcus Rashford.
Yeah. Okay, so those were our performance for the England-Iran game. And we're moving on to the Senegal-Netherlands game. We're just going to brush through and see the performance. Okay, so for Senegal national team, one person, only one. Ismaïla Sarr.
Yeah.
He had the leads on skaters. Like, it was give the ball to Sarr and watch him humiliate the leads. Left alone with me, if that was like a Premier League game or something like that, a club game.
Definitely.
The lead would have led him the red card.
Definitely,
because
yeah,
he kept on fouling him consistently.
Yeah, because I saw someone on Twitter yesterday, you know, about European teams always getting away with like being too aggressive with African teams.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the referees are not seeing what's happening.
Africans.
So you get it. I'm not trying to insinuate anything, but it's always like, are we watching this same game?
Yeah.
These fouls are happening consistently and no cards, no nothing.
Because in another universe, right?
Yeah.
He gets a first yellow card for the first tackle in his first.
Exactly.
In the second half, he makes that same tackle again and he gets second yellow card.
And that's a red. And he's gone.
And Senegal have the advantage. And at the end of the day, the goals came in the last minutes. That was painful.
Very painful.
85-90.
Yeah. That was
nice for Netherlands. It was nice for me because when you pick out performance, you expect them to perform.
Yeah.
And Kodigabo did not fall short. He would have scored the first chance early in the first half.
Yeah.
De Jong, oh my God.
I have no words for that, man.
That assist saved him.
Yeah,
believe me, that
he did not save him one bit. Cause no, like
for his ratings, like
okay,
for those that didn't watch the game, they come online and they're like, oh wow,
the John Rating,
I expected it. That has to be higher, but he played terribly, like. From missing the goal, I don't know what kind of composure was, right? Like, they missed a lot of chances. And then after that, okay, he made up for it with that. That assist was divine. That assist was divine because that was, like, one of the picks of the century.
Yeah.
To see Gakpo there, coming, making the run, and to hit that inch perfect pass.
But Edouard Mendy, man.
I don't know what to say about that
Edouard
guy.
Edouard Mendy, because...
He was good until the dying minutes...
I don't.
He was not good. He was not shot on target. That was the first shot on target. In fact,
I don't even understand how. Like, how do you miss time? Well, I don't even know. I don't even know. Like, he mistimed the run, the jump. Totally missed it.
He cost Senegal.
Yeah.
He cost Senegal
because the pipe shot.
Yeah.
He spilled it.
I don't blame him for that. I feel like, okay, the only thing he would have done there was to have hit the ball further away because it was bouncing. And I guess you can't actually hold that kind of shot sometimes.
Sure.
But, like, push it further away or push it to the corner kick, like, over the line. I know it's a split-second decision, but that's why you are being trained and being paid that amount of money. So at that split-second, you can make the right choice. So... He should have seen it because as the shot came in, he should have seen that, okay, I'm punching this towards Klaassen. And he tried to do his quick reflex and save it again, but nah, it's really too late.
Too late, bro.
That makes him to fall among my underperformers for that game.
Yeah.
Him and the Leeds, they were... I put them as underperformers because I expected them to perform, and they didn't. So yeah, that's it. But for, despite Sarr and obviously Cody Gakpo,
is
my man of the match.
Yeah.
We're looking at Nathan Aké.
Okay.
He was rock solid throughout the game.
Yeah.
A couple of times that De Jong made mistakes, him and Van Dijk, they really tried to marshal that back.
Elite
was the only person that messed up at the back. Dumfries was non-existent. I feel he shouldn't play again. De Jong, as we said, played shit, but the assist made up for most of everything because at the end of the day, even if Klaassen hadn't scored, that would have been the winning goal, right?
Yeah.
And then last but not the least, Noppet, the goalkeeper, Inches.
Inches.
Sometimes it's good to be tall.
Something very good to be tall, bro. Inches.
He's the tallest goalkeeper in the World Cup, for those who don't know. And yesterday he showed us why he was tallest, because he made certain saves that if you're a bit shorter than him...
Someone like Kepa wouldn't.
He wouldn't make that. Okay. So moving on to the last game, USA Wales... And that was one of the best matches I had watched. When I say best matches, I mean both teams performed. First half was USA, second half was Wales. And
yeah, like we talked yesterday, I expected a win from Wales. I don't know. I expected a win from Wales.
Yeah, I told you that match was going to be tough. I told you.
Yeah, I still expected a win from Wales regardless. Like, that's why I put it at 1-0 because I knew it was going to be a tough match, but I figured Wales would come out on top.
And Wales were actually lucky in that game. Okay, let me not say lucky because they played their way into the penalty. So I won't say lucky, but they were fortunate.
Okay.
That's the best way I'll use.
Yeah.
They were fortunate for getting that penalty. Standout performance. Okay, I didn't expect anything for Timothy Ware.
Nope.
I didn't expect him to even start. I expected him to have said Aaronson. And when he came in and then he scored and he played well. So yeah, Aaronson he came from the bench, didn't really show much. I think he would have had a chance to score if he had come earlier. But their captain, Tyler Adams, he impressed me yesterday. I think I'll watch out for him for the next games. Matt Turner of Arsenal, a second choice goalkeeper. If not for the penalty, he would have kept his clean sheet.
Very true.
I feel bad for him because he really felt he had done it again.
Yeah.
The two standout performers to me.
Okay.
As expected, Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale, yeah.
And Christian Pulisic, our own
Captain America.
Those guys... Oh, Captain America and then the Beast of Will. That's like a very, very catchy name.
Yeah.
They really played well yesterday. Kudos to Pulisic because he got knocked down so many times. I felt like he was going to go hobble off injured. But he kept on going.
And he gave the assist.
He gave the assist. He nearly even gave another assist because I don't know why Chelsea can't get the best out of their players. Like, Mount is the only one. Okay, Mount and Mendy.
No, Mount, I think Mount's tried.
To me, he was hiding. I don't know.
He tried, but then again, we have Jude Bellingham.
How you play with Jude Bellingham and you allow him to shadow you?
I don't know, man, but you know, you have Jude Bellingham and like he's everywhere. So Mount tried, but no, it was not for him.
So Pulisic and Bale. Ramsey tried. I think he gave the pass and led to the penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expected Ramsey and Bale to stand forward for Wales, and they did that. The point they got was a very important
point. Very important
right
point.
Now, they just need to beat Iran.
Yeah, they need to beat Iran.
They both beat Iran, they have 4 points.
Yeah.
And then it all depends on who can get a point or a win against England. That's good.
England is... But then again, we cannot outrightly write out Iran, because forget that they lost to England by that large margin. They can pull some punches.
If you saw the energy I saw from both Wales and England and USA yesterday...
Trust me. See... Like, we cannot totally write them off.
Okay.
Yeah.
In William's words, Iran are still in game.
They're still in the game.
So that is for our games of yesterday. Those are our performers and those are our underperformers. And yeah, I know some people had breaks yesterday for the punters. Well, sorry for those that bet on Kane to score. I expected him to score also, but gladly I did not bet on him.
Hey, but hey, Mendy did one for the Bros, man.
Yeah, the 1.5.
He did one for the Bros. His two mistakes gave us 2 goals, man. 1.5 in the game. Because like, honestly, I'd lost hope.
That was going to be end goalless. But
Mendy, thank you. Mendy, sorry about your goalkeeping errors, but yeah, thank you.
And you're lucky, you know, you're like your number one, so they can't bench you. So
there's no Kepa to replace you.
So what's more, thanks for that. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Whenever we need 1.5.
Okay, yeah, whenever we need 1.5 from Senegal.
Make sure you can.
anything you can do to us.
Okay. So today is the Tuesday, the 22nd of November. We have 4 games. To continue.
One very early game.
I think that might actually maybe be the best game to watch for today.
Argentina versus Saudi Arabia.
Messi. Not even that. Messi.
Yeah, honestly,
I
just want to watch Messi and De Paul. That's it, man.
Oh, yeah, you picked out De Paul.
I just want just the two of them. And I feel like Saudi Arabia, they are going to... They might eat plenty goals today. I said might too, because, you know, it's still World Cup, man. But well, they might eat plenty goals.
I won't go against you that, right? But I pressed my prediction before you, so I don't get dragged into your web. Yeah, but Argentina, I see them here also as winning the game. Let me use that.
Okay.
I see the standout performance as Messi and Di Maria.
Ah, Angel. Yeah.
That guy, he never disappoints. I wonder sometimes how old he is, because he doesn't play like his age.
So yeah, the games we have for today, we have Argentina versus Saudi Arabia.
He was injured previously. So yes, there's a high margin that he might not
start.
Yes, the high margin he might not actually start. Maybe he still recovers. Same thing happened with Depay.
Yeah,
that he came from bench. So there's a high chance of that, but. Removing Di Maria, if I could substitute, I wouldn't want to do that. Yes. Or if I could substitute for Di Maria and look for another performer, definitely it's going to be Lautaro.
Definitely, yeah.
I've always been with him. I wished he came to Arsenal. I don't wish that now, because I've seen how good Jesus is. But before, I wished he came to Arsenal. So definitely, I supported him for the finalissima, and he did not
disappoint.
Definitely. So today I still look at if Di Maria is not playing, I'm looking at Lautaro.
Okay.
But Saudi Arabia team. You see, Qatar was shit. Iran tried but was shit. Saudi Arabia
against Argentina.
Nothing against Middle East, right? Nothing against them, but
I think someone on Twitter said that they should just take one spot from the Asian countries
and give it to Nigeria.
To Africa.
Nigeria, please.
No, not Nigeria. Like,
who else? Egypt or Algeria?
They should just take one and give an extra slot to Africa, probably.
Yeah, I know we are bad. I know, like, It won't be even that bad nowadays. But when we are bad, but come on.
No, Iwobi is actually performing for, especially for the national team. Iwobi in Didi.
These guys are so bad that we don't even know them. We don't know they appear in Europe. Like this. Only Brazil can come in, right? Only, let's say, Brazil, England, Spain,
yeah,
can come in and pick people from their national leagues, right?
Yeah, and perform, yeah.
Even Brazil can't even do that very well. But they'll bring one person from their national league and then you'll be like, wow, where have you been? You understand? And you want to do the same thing with them. Be picking players from me. Oh my god. The Middle Easterns, sorry. I don't know, you guys didn't really turn up for this World Cup.
No, they did not.
But no, as in no insults, because we didn't expect you guys to turn up.
Nope, not at all.
You guys tried. For now, I'm saying Iran are the best.
So far, yeah.
Saudi Arabia might surprise us. Please do. I wouldn't like to see like a 6-0 fixture. I would like to be closely contested. What if I'm predicting? I'm predicting 4-0 again.
Okay.
So it's an England game.
Okay. But
try and like make me wrong.
Score one goal at least.
Score one goal at least. But despite Argentina and Saudi Arabia, I was seeing Denmark, Tunisia. That looks like a fiercely contested game.
Honestly, it does. It actually does look like a game that's going to be tough. But I don't know. This World Cup, the African team that I was looking out for lost yesterday. So,
sorry.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. Next time, you just stick with Ghana.
Used to say that Ghana will not lose.
Ghana will not lose. Let me put Ghana again.
Cristiano Ronaldo with the hat-trick against Ghana.
I wish.
But yeah.
Someone has not scored. It's not scored up to 3 goals this season. He'll score hat-trick.
Don't worry now. Is it not the goat again? You'll see. So Denmark versus Tunisia, closely contested. Might be the first game
what's today?
No, as in like I was going to say might be the first game to end in a draw, but I remembered Wales and USA.
Yeah,
so I feel like this game will be a draw game.
I've just always known that guy, and for every competition he always has one match where he's the best performer.
But then again, now I sit down and think about this, I feel like Denmark is going to win this game, bro.
Denmark, they definitely look like you're going to win.
Yeah.
If you ask me, I'm going straight up Denmark.
Yeah, Denmark is going to win this game.
You understand?
Yeah.
But I still see it as a closely contested fixture.
Yeah.
The same with the Netherlands and Senegal.
Senegal, probably too.
Denmark wins quite all right, but it's a very closely contested fixture.
Okay.
A mistake might be what's caused the goal.
Yeah, but Denmark is winning.
Christian,
yeah, I changed my mind. Yeah, Denmark is winning.
No, guys. Mexico versus Poland, 5:00 West African time. What does that mean?
Yeah, West African time. Lewandowski.
Wow. And the Poland calf. So they are not really. These teams usually, we actually look out for them against bigger teams.
Yeah.
Mexico, we always know that. When you put Mexico against Brazil, you see a match you enjoy.
A very tough match.
And put Poland against France, you'll see something. For those that don't understand Ibu, you'll see something. Like, but putting them against each other, see, I won't be surprised if this game actually is boring.
Right?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to see something exciting. Yeah, Mexico, they start with this fire, right?
Yeah,
they usually start with the fire when they're playing against a big team. And now they're playing against Poland. It's a game where the both teams are supposed to be like, come to life, bring out their attack, show us that, okay, I deserve the 3 points before I play against whoever. You understand?
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening.
Okay.
I actually see it as a boring game. Well, that's just my thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the Mexicans and the Polish, they might feel something different, because definitely going away to Qatar to go and support your team, you're not expecting to play nonsense.
Nope.
Well, do you really see Lewandowski standing out in the game?
I feel like the only positive thing that might come out from Lewandowski would be a goal.
That's
it.
I don't know how to take that as an insult or that as a praise.
It's not an insult, but I just expect a Lewandowski goal. Apart from that, I mean, he's not... I just expect the goal.
You don't see Lewandowski that's for that's unites the team.
No,
like what Harry Kane did.
No,
I don't see him modifying to that.
No, I don't see that happening today, especially against Mexico. No, I just expect him to score. That's it.
Okay. So let's go with our last game. France versus Australia.
Yeah, it's time for France to show us that they can actually push through and break that World Cup curse.
Saliba, the best centre back in Premier League as of now.
For now.
As of now.
For now.
Yes,
for now.
It's to pull on the tag. Just keep pulling to the end of the season.
And yeah, for now.
Win player of the season.
For now.
Imagine win player of the season over Haaland.
For now. Until he meets Man City.
What's going to happen?
And we destroy you guys.
The same way Van Dijk destroyed Haaland.
We destroy you guys. Van Dijk did not destroy Haaland.
He hasn't scored against Liverpool.
They just blocked the supply.
That's what destroying is.
That's not destroying. Destroying is when the player has the chance.
He had a chance.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he even scored the blue offside.
Did he?
But the condition was even worse. But at least he performed better. Probably in the next future, he'll finally score against Van Dijk.
Don't worry, we are coming for you guys.
Okay.
So after the World Cup, we'll revisit this discussion.
Okay, Saliba Haaland. Hey, Haaland dress, let Saliba play what the big boys play.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, this guy, let's not deviate. We'll have the discussion
we're
later.
We're hoping to see a back line of Hernandez, Varane, Saliba, Pavard. That's actually scary.
But then, moving forward.
You think Konate will enter? Because you know Varane was not fit when he came in to the World Cup.
Well, for this particular fixture, we just have to wait for the lineup because I'm not sure
we can predict.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can predict.
We know those that are going to be there. We know that Kamavinga is going to start. Because
yeah.
Who are they making? Can't they make it? So we're looking at Tchouaméni featuring Mbappe definitely there.
Definitely.
Olivier Giroud was the star man. That not score a goal for the World Cup. But definitely, Olivier Giroud is always on the line. So,
yeah.
I feel like we can almost call them. But I believe kudos where is the Australia really fought their way to the World Cup. I don't think I'm going to give up that easily.
Yeah, that's why the first thing I said was this is like this first stepping stone for France.
Okay.
To break that.
Oh, yeah. World Cup, forgetting that course.
World Cup winner curse.
Let me check my bets. Let me make sure. Okay. So yeah, guys, I bet on Sporty. No, it's not like I'm telling anybody to bet on Sporty, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I bet on Sporty, and they are one of the best platforms to use. Actually, everything is easy there. This is not an ad. I'm not advertising for them. I'm just telling you guys what I use. So which game are we talking about right now?
France, Australia, yeah.
France, Australia. Oh. Okay. I think on my first ticket, I played France to win. So, I won't say much. France straight win. Second, did I play them? No, it's not usually advisable to play same game, two tickets.
Nope.
Okay, I didn't play. So, yeah. France to win.
France to win. Regardless of the curse. Yeah, some big balls, man. Some big cojones.
Man, I believe in Mbappe. I believe in Mbappe.
Okay.
Let's bring this to a wrap. Now we go into the match predictions, and I draw the charts. J stands for Jay, and a W stands for Will. Okay, so looking at our first games, we predicted trash.
For Qatar.
So we both have 0 points from that. We decided to score it this way. As we said yesterday,
3 points for
predicting the win.
Yeah, the win. Yeah.
And then 6 points for the correct score.
Yeah.
Very good. And for the England game, I went with 4-0 for England. And you went with?
I went with 3 for England.
And match ended 6-2. So we didn't get the correct score, but
we got the win.
That's 3 points for me and 3 points for my friend over here. Then the next game was Senegal Netherlands. I went with 1-3. You went with?
I went with a draw.
Oh.
Yeah.
2-2 draw, right?
Yeah, I went with a 2-2 draw.
So that's 3 points for me again, and
no points for me.
Ouch. And then for the last game,
I went with a win for Wales,
and I went with a 1-1 draw. And that was the correct score. 6 points.
Mm.
I wish I had like a tune to play for celebration, right? 6 points. Man.
It currently stands at 12-3, but no problem. We move again today. Four games.
At the end of the day, I was going to be the winner. I said something. You said that. you just had bad luck the first day.
I'm not going to say that again. So we move today.
So that's 12 points for your boy Jay, and Williams is lagging behind at 3 points. And I still see myself topping today again.
We
have 4 games coming to you live, and we're about to drop up our match predictions for the game. So let's go. Williams, Argentina, Saudi Arabia. I've already got my 4-0. So what's yours?
Well, Argentina to win normally. Definitely. And
correct. That's the hard part, man.
4-1.
That's not fair. So your Saudi Arabia scores now. I'm now at the end. Wow. No worries.
4-1. Yeah.
Okay. 4-1. Denmark, Tunisia. Closely contested fixture. I'm saying a 2-1 there.
2-1 in favor of who?
Denmark.
Okay. Another closely contested fixture. Denmark to win, yeah. The margin now, that's the question. For this game, I'll go with two goal to one, just like you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Feels like you really, really are not sure about that.
No.
I'm trying to play safe.
I was going to go for, like, I know Denmark is going to win now, and we know it's going to be a tight game. But I feel like Tunisia, they'll definitely get a goal in this game.
I'd go for 2-0.
That's what I wanted to go for, but then I thought about it. Yeah, I thought about it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a 2-1 for me.
So, Mexico-Poland, go first.
Mexico-Poland, I want Lewandowski to score, so that's one goal for Poland.
Uh-huh.
Mexico, they're definitely going to score, so that's one goal for Mexico.
Okay.
So,
Mamma mia.
I think this will be my draw game for today. Wow.
Okay.
This will be my... You said I should go first, bro. This will be my draw game for today. The correct score now. The correct score would be 1-1 for me.
That's not fair. I feel like you're reading my mind. That's not fair.
Bro, you said I should go first.
Hell no. I thought you should go first. Like, you won't say what I wanted to say. I go with 1-1. I go with 1-1 for Mexico, Poland also.
Okay.
I go with 1-1 for... Okay, yeah. And last but not least, France versus Australia. You go first.
France.
Like, let me just keep it down mine. Let me just write it down so that's...
This curse is about to mess with me. So, but then it's Australia. I feel like France are going to be victorious in this game. So maybe 2-0.
2-0.
Yeah.
Okay, that was close to mine. But I go with a 3-0 for France.
Okay.
That's it. You're confident.
Yeah, so my prediction, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, 4-1.
Yeah.
Denmark, Tunisia, 2-1. Mexico, Poland, 1-1. France, Australia, 2-0.
Man, our prediction's close. I go 4-0 for Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Denmark, 2, Tunisia, 1. Mexico, Poland, a 1-1 draw. And France, Australia, a 3-0 win.
Okay. Okay, so there you have it, guys, our predictions. And we've come to the end of today's episode. Join us next time as we discuss, you know, the happenings at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. See you next time. I'm Will.
And this is Jay, as always. Thanks for having us. 'Enjoy the podcast you just listened to. If you did, tap the follow button and turn on notifications so you don't miss out on any of our episodes. See ya!